go back to the sugi that we were in the middle of learning last week. We had a machloikis tanoim, how to treat yoytze. Now, psul yoytze is whenever something goes out of the place of the where it's allowed to be. And obviously that ranges from before zrika to after zrika. Before zrika, l'chayr, there's no heter for the meat to go anywhere. It's got to stay in the azor. After zrika, so depending what it is, if it's kachik kadoshim, it's still bound to the azorah, can't leave the azorah. And if it's kashim kalim, then it could be taken anywhere throughout Yerushalayim. So the Mishnah here is talking about a case where you did shechita, and then you took the meat out, either the kashim kadoshim or the kashim kalim. And the reason why the Mishnah holds that's an issue is because since zrika was not done yet, so even if it's kashim kalim, not allowed to leave the azorah. That's the way the Mishnah reads. We'll just read the Mishnah over. If the meat of the kodesh kadoshim goes out before zrikas domim, Rebbe Lezer I'm a moyal in boy. There's a din of meila. The ain chayovin aleihem mishum pigul noise of etome. And you're not chayiv for pigul noise of etome. Basically, Rebbe Lezer is saying is that since the meat went out, we look at it like it's not here, and the zrika doesn't affect it. Right? It says, don't know zrika took place. Anything which went out before zrika becomes disconnected, and the zrika that took place afterwards doesn't go back on it. So it says, those zrika didn't take place. So therefore, me'ila remains. Whatever was the me'ila status till now remains. And whatever the status of pigul nois of etome remains, meaning pigul needs zrika to activate it, so does noiser. And it won't be activated because there was no zrika. Rebbe Kiva argues. Rebbe Kiva says the zrika does work. Rebbe Kiva imayim oilim boy. There's no meila because the zrika is effective, and therefore also v'chayav v'nalei mishum pigul nois of etome. Rebbe Kiva proves this point. I'm Rebbe Kiva. I'll prove to you that the zrika works even on something that was taken out of the Beis Hamikdash. Harei amafrish chatos evov dovifrish acheros tachteho. If somebody was mafrish ekom chatos, and then because it got misplaced, they separated another one. Now you have two chatos. Only one of them could be kosher. The other one will automatically turn into a moiser chatos, which is possible, right? Only one of these chatos will remain kosher. The halacha is harei shtei anayim dos. So long that they're standing there together, the halacha is that there's a din of me'ila on both. Both chatois. Why? Because they're both worthy. They're both roy to be chatois. Nizrik dam, loy kishem shadom. Now, if the blood got spritzed, loy kishem shadom apoiteres besorah, kach poiteres besach avelta. The blood, if you spritz the blood for one of the two, the other one will lose the status of me'ila. The Gemara, the Mishnah, the Rabbi Kiva, therefore, is showing, he's proving that even though these are two separate korbanos, and l'chayr, there's no connection between chatas A and chatas B, still in all, the zrik of chatas A will affect, take off the din of me'ila from chatas B. So now Rabbi Kiva makes like a type of kalvachim. He says, if zrika can even take off the me'ila from carbon B, so surely it should take off the din me'ila from carbon A that just went out. That's Rabbi Kiva's kalvachim. In pota, ebdomo es pesar chavertim, and I mean, Ila, if by moiser chatas, the zrika of animal A could remove the din me'ila from animal B, surely, dinu sheyifdor es pesar atzmo. How could you then say that if yoytze happens, if the event of yoytze happens, that the din zrika will not do that? It surely should work. Then the Mishnah repeats the same din by kachim kalim. Emurim kachim kalim shiyotzuv neizvikas domim. Rebbe Lezer oimer ein moyalin bohem v'ein chayovin aleihem mishum pigul noise of etome. Rabbi Akiva oimer moyalin bohem. There is a din of me'ila v'chayovin aleihem mishum pigul noise of etome. Okay, that's the Mishnah. There's many difficulties we had, but right now we'll just go back to the main difficulty that we discussed last week of this Mishnah. The main difficulty, at least when we learn the Mishnah, is to understand where Rabbi Akiva is coming from. Rabbi Elazar has a very straight sheet. Rabbi Elazar says very simple. He takes something out of the place where it's allowed to be, it becomes posel b'yotze. Yotze, by definition, means it's out. Just like it's out as far as being kosher, it's out as far as the zrika is concerned. The zrika can affect it. The zrika can only affect that which is miyachas to the carbon, and anything which was taken out has been excommunicated from the carbon, so therefore the zrika doesn't affect it. That's Rebbe Elazar. Very glatt. Rebbe Akiva comes, Rebbe Akiva says, no. I hold that although the status, lagabi, the kashrus of the carbon, has changed, and whatever was taken out could never be brought back in and become part of the carbon, it becomes permanently excommunicated, but the zrika still will work, both lagabi me'ila, lagabi pigul noisa v'tome, the zrika still works. That's Rebbe Akiva. The onus of proof is on Rebbe Akiva. So Rebbe Akiva comes and he says, I have a raya. The raya to me is that if you have two chatois, which by definition you can't have two chatois for one chet, you can only have one. So one of them ultimately is going to become posel, al tmoisu chatois. So if you spritz the blood for one chatois, the aloch is the me'ila falls off from the other chatois. Rebbe Akiva somehow is bringing that as a proof that Me'ila, that Zrika will affect even something which is not connected. And therefore, he says, you can't have it more disconnected than two karbonas. That's completely disconnected. Chatas A and Chatas B have no relativity. They're not connected at all. The only thing that they share is that they both would have been kosher. They both could have been kosher. Not both together. They both independently could have been kosher. And the Mela, that's the only thing that they share. They don't share any other connection other than that this one could have been used or this one could have been used. They both can't be used. And still the halacha is that when you spritz the blood of one of them, the Me'ila falls off the other one. So Kol Shekein, if the only disconnect is that this meat went out, surely the Zrika should be effective to remove the din of Me'ila. So as we said, the Kal V'Chomer of Rebbe Akiva is very understandable. It's a great Kal V'Chomer. Provided that Rebbe Akiva would have something to stand on to begin with. That means, if the reason why there's no Me'ila by Chatas B is because the Zrika of Chatas A took it off, then Rebbe Akiva could start his argument. But the main onus of proof on Rebbe Akiva is to prove that the Zrika of A affects B. Who says? Elamai, you're going to tell me there's no din me'ila on Chatas B? As we explained last week, the most logical way to explain that is that Chatas B becomes irrelevant. Just like we had Kochim Shemesu. They lose the halacha of me'ila. They die. If an animal just dies, there's no din me'ila midaraisa. So you could say, you can equate the second chatas to that. The second chatas is only sitting there waiting to maybe be used. Once you use the first one and you spritz the blood, the second one has nothing to wait for, so it becomes irrelevant. And because of its irrelevance, the halacha of me'ila falls off. That would be the most logical way to explain why there's no din of me'ila. Rebbe Akiva, obviously, is trying to sell us his approach, which is that there's a very liberal approach to Zrika. Zrika just is very, very effective. And Zrika could work on anything. And therefore, the Zrika of Chatas A works for Chatas B. And once you swallow that, then he says, no, Bazar Yotze is no worse. That's Rebbe Akiva. The problem we have is, where did he get to first base? Where did he get to say his first point? And his first point is so difficult to understand. It's point A, that it's almost impossible. How could you say that the Zrika of Chatas A affects Chatas B? Let's play it out. Anything else in the Beis HaMikdash? Somebody brings two shlomims, Shalmei Simcha, and he shechs them together. Would anybody have a Havamina that you could spritz the blood of one Shalmei Simcha, be Yetz the Zrika of the other Shalmei Simcha? Of course not. Be Narishkeit. There's no shaychus. You bring two korbanos oila. Would the zrika of one korban oila, even if you shechted them together, would the zrika of one oila take a problem of the other oila? Of course not. The mocker of zrika, the whole source that zrika works, is only by a korban on itself. There is no other source. That there's a concept of zrika that can affect other korbanos. As far as what? They're only connected independently. It's a strange connection. They're only connected in the way that each one without the other one can work. They're never connected as a team. They almost automatically destruct the other one. The existence of one is the termination of the other one. When you have two chatois, one was set aside for because you thought the first one was lost. Each one, not only are they not working together, this is like when you have two twins and you have to separate one in order for one of them to live. They can't live together. The only way for one of these chatois to survive is without the other one. They can't both coexist.
They were meant for the same obligation.
They were meant. But the fact is, that's why I gave you an example of Shalmei Simcha. A person has to bring a Shlomim on Yom Tov, Shalmei Simcha. Let's say a person would separate two Shalmei Simcha. To be Yetzir is Chiyuv of Shalmei Simcha. You could bring two Shalmei Simcha. Brings two Shlomim on Yom Tov, yeah? And there it's much better. There you can be Yetzir Shalmei Simcha with each one, and they don't self-destruct. They don't destruct the other. Right? Yeah, David, they work even better together. You could bring them both. No problem. Would there be a Havamina that you could spritz the blood from one Shalmei Simcha, and that would work in any way for the other Shalmei Simcha? Of course not. It's two separate karbonas. Here, it's worse. Because here, the zrika of one disqualifies the other one. Makes the other one not a chatas. Not roy to be a chatas. So if you're going to tell me that there's no din of me'ila, it's definitely not because the zrika of this one works for that one. It would almost be the other way around. It would be that the zrika of one makes the other one completely disqualified to such a degree that the Mila falls off. Because let's not forget, that's how we started the Masechta. When we started Mila, we learned that even Kachim that apostle, there's still a Din of Mila. And the Gemara went through the whole first blot of the Masechta, went through that's not always the case. There are cases where the carbon is so apostle that there's no Din of Mila. L'mashal, Kachim Shemesu, because it's mamish completely non-existent as far as a korban, potential for a korban, so it's completely possible. And the Gemara even said the reason why Kachim Kadoshim, Sheshachtim B'dorim, the reason why there is a din of me'ila is because Dorim is still called somewhat qualified, at least for Kachim Kala. So we did start the Masechta with the concept that you could have something that becomes so disqualified that even Mi'ila falls off. L'chayranat, because that doesn't seem to be the discussion between not Rabbi Akiva Shita and not Rabbi Elazar Shita. Well, Yotzei is not even called Psul Begufei. We'll get to this. Yotzei is even a very low level of Psul. But the bottom line is, when we started the Masechta, we didn't have a guideline that there could be something which becomes so invalidated that even Mi'ila falls off. Loses the whole status.
So far only death.
So far only death. Okay? So far only death. That there is no pasuk in the Torah that death removes Mi'ila. It's a svara. You follow? So it's not only death. It's a svara that it becomes totally disqualified. I would say I could buy a slugger that if you shechted one chatas and spritz the blood, I'm willing to buy a slugger that the other one is retroactively nothing. Because the other one can only be a chatas so long that you have that there's a chet. Okay? So the second chatas is nothing.
Maybe worse than death.
Maybe worse. I personally hear it's worse than death. Death is a tragic event. Nebuch, the carbon died. But nothing happened to disqualify it other than the fact that we can't proceed. But here, Here, when you bring the chatas A, so chatas B loses its whole identity. It loses its cause. It loses its identity retroactively. Retroactively. And if you hold Yesh Breira in all of Shas, then it's very logical to say that the whole Kedusha should fall off. Because I only separated it on the das that I needed. Now I don't. I'm ready to buy that. All I'm saying is, that is a much more plausible than to tell me that the Zrika of Chatas A is removing the Me'ilah from Chatas B. When they're completely, halachically separate. So that's really the problem. Rabbi Akiva somehow is trying to sell us this concept. And then he's saying, if you're ready to swallow, basically Rabbi Akiva said a chiddush in the Mishnah. A big chiddush. Rabbi Eleza argued with him. Said, Yoitze is puzzle and the Zrika doesn't help on it. Then Rabbi Akiva basically says, you know what? In order to prove my point, I'll tell you a bigger chiddush. I'll sell you a bigger chiddush than my first chiddush in the Mishnah. Now, if you buy that, you got to buy my smaller chiddush. That seems to be the way the Rabbi Akiva is working in the Mishnah. He says it's one chiddush. He could have just said the chiddush without saying a raya. Right? He could have ended with his chiddush. Rabbi Akiva doch given a machadish. Even Moshe Rabbeinu didn't understand all Rabbi Akiva's chiddush. Akiva's a machadish. But then Rabbi Akiva comes and he says, listen, I don't want to be so radical. I'll prove it to you. And he proves it to us by selling us a more radical chiddush. Which is that the zrik of one karm works for another karm. Now, you ready to buy that? Obviously, there's no question Rabbi Elazar didn't buy that. If you're ready to buy that, then you gotta agree. Then now you're forced. Now I got you in a hole. Now that you bought my bigger chiddush, now you must buy my smaller chiddush. I understand, but I'm still, I'm a very hesitant customer. I'm not buying the second chiddush. The second chiddush to me is bigger than the first. Maybe I'll buy the first one a little bit, but the second one not. Which is the way we explain the maskon of the sugi. That was really Reish Lakish's time. Because Rabbi Akiva, in his process of explaining his shita, we learned in the Braisa, that Rabbi Akiva went and he said, I'll prove to you this idea with this two chatois, but he added one point, that they were both shechted together. The two chatois were shechted together. Only then does the zrika of chatas A remove the me'ilah from chatas B. But if they were shechted one after the other, then it's different. Why did Rabbi Akiva have to tag on that chiddush? Because what would be the logic to say that there's a difference between if you shechted them together, you shechted one after the other? And the reason is simple. Because if you shechted them one after the other, the second one got disqualified before you got the zrika. Once you shechted the first chatas, the second chatas became out of the picture. So then there's no shayla. Rabbi Akiva therefore went and he said, I'm talking about a case where the two chatois were shechted together. So Rashi used the lashon and the mefarish here, that now it's like one. Because now either one, now that you shechted them together exactly, two kohanim shechted the two chatois together, l'shem chatas, with everything correct, now they're both oimid for zrika. Both meaning not both, but either. Now in this case, both meats are considered one. And now if you do Zrika, now it removes the Din Me'ilah from both of them. That's Rabbi Akiva. And that's what we had. If you look at the end of the Gemara, turn to Zion Amud Beis. We read this last week already. The Gemara says, Omar Reish Lakish. Five lines down on Zion Amud Beis, Omar Reish Lakish Mishum Rav Hoshaya, Tshuva Gnuva Heishivoi Rav Akiva Loisoi Talmud. This is a stolen answer Rav Akiva gave. This is not correct. Because, B'vas Achasin B'zeh Achaseh Loi, the Kiva and the Puzzle, since the second one is Puzzle anyway, Mali B'vas Achas, Mali B'zeh Achaseh, what's the difference? It doesn't make a difference. Puzzle. L'chayra, what does it mean? Why does he call it a tshuva gnuva? Because really, Rabbi Akiva, you're using something which doesn't have to do with your lamdas. I mean, it's as we explained last week. Who cares if Rabbi Akiva only said his chiddush by bevas achas or bevas achas? Why does that affect his answer? The answer is the way we explained it. Because the only reason why Rabbi Akiva had a proof was because he was making the assumption that it's only if the two chatois are shechted together. That proves that there's an association between the two chatois. It's not the disconnect, it's the connect. You follow? There are two ways to say the Zrika takes off the Me'ila from the second chatas. One is because, like Rabbi Kiva's concept, that they were both under one umbrella, they're connected. If that's the case, then Rabbi Kiva has a chiddush. If the umbrella of Zrika is so big, so broad, that it even includes another chatas, so surely it also includes Yotze. That's Rabbi Kiva's way of going. That's Rabbi Kiva's mahalach. But if you learn the reason why Me'ila falls off Chatas B, it's because it becomes possible and becomes not valid, then it has nothing to do with our Mishnah. So by the fact that Rabbi Kiva brought in that the two Chatois were shechted together, that was a way of him saying that the reason why the Me'ila falls off Chatas B is because it's under the umbrella of the Zrik. That's the whole concept of Rabbi Kiva. That's what he's trying to sell us. Rish Lakish says that's a Tshuva Genuva. That's a stolen answer. That's not a terrorist. Because the truth is, it wouldn't make a difference. If the Me'ila falls off, the Me'ila falls off. It won't make a difference if it's together, if it's Bizach Hazer. What's the difference? It's possible either way. Won't make a difference either way. No difference. Right? But if you looked at the Mefarash, as we said in the Havamina, when it said Bivas Achas, so Rashi says, Kegoin Sheshoch to Ishne Kehanim Ka'achas to Kechad Gufa Dama. It's like one. We view it as one. And therefore, the shchit of one takes off the mila, the zrika of one takes off the mila from the other. Because by Rabbi Kiva making a distinction, it's obvious, let's get something clear, it's obvious that there was a Kabbalah, call it halacha m'shumisinai, call whatever you'd like, that if you have two chatois and you spritz the blood of one, the other one, the mila falls off the other one. That didn't exist. Otherwise, if that didn't exist, Rabbi Kiva doesn't begin. That was a unanimously accepted halacha, that if you spritz the blood from one chatas, the other chatas loses meal. That's how Rabbi Kiva was able to use that as a baseline for his raya, because that was accepted. Rabbi Lezer doesn't argue with that. Nobody argues. Right? But Rabbi Kiva fine-tuned it. Rabbi Kiva said, and if you shech two of them together, then the zrik of one gets rid of the me'ila from the other. By Rabbi Kiva making it sound like you need them to be shechted together, that's how he managed to tell us that it's working because this Rika is removing the din me'ila. You follow? Because if the reason why there's no me'ila on the second chadas is because it's disqualified, it would not make a difference if it was shechted together one after the other, just the opposite. If it was shechted one after the other, it's more disqualified. Because not only did it become disqualified by Zrika, it became disqualified by Shechit. So by Rabbi Kiva manipulating that point, Rabbi Kiva saying, you know, we're talking about a case where you shechted them together. So Rabbi Kiva now created a massav for himself that points to the direction that it's working, that the zrika of one is working for the other. It's not the disqualification. So Rish Lakish is saying, one second, if your whole premise is wrong, if the fact is that there's no din me'ila, even if they were shechted separately, that's the biggest proof that it's not working, midin, that the zrika is working for the other. It's just because it got disqualified. So then if that's the case, so then Rabbi Kiva's whole analogy gets knocked off. Rabbi Kiva's analogy only works if you hold that it's dafka where they were shechted together, which proves that the reason why there's no me'ila on the chatas B is because it got connected loosely. I'm not saying connected. Loosely connected to Chatas A, because when they got shechted together, they both at that point were Roy. If they were shechted 2 minutes apart, then the second Chatas would be possible. But since they were shechted exactly at the same time, so now technically they're both independently, only independently, Roy Fizrika. So now they're somewhat connected. That's what Rashi tells us. Now they're connected because they both have common ground that the blood of either one of them could be spritzed on the Mizbeach. Rabbi Kiva said, oh, and in that case, if you spritz one of the bloods, the other one loses the status of meal. Is a raya, says Rabbi Kiva, is a raya that the Zrika works even for something which is only loosely connected. And what's that loose connection? The fact that at the time of Shechita, you could have used either of their bloods for the same reason. That's enough of a connection that when you spritz the blood of one, the me'ila falls off from the other. It's called Shekain. There's a much stronger connection where this is one carbon. And the only reason why this, the meat, is disqualified is because it went someplace it wasn't supposed to go. Zicha, for sure, the Zrika will work to take it off. That's Rav Akiva. Zakrish Lokish, the whole thing is stolen. It's Genuva. Because Rav Akiva was only able to sell us that because he's making Ki'ilu, there's some kind of distinction between if you shecht them together or you shecht the one after the other. But if the fact is that even if you shecht one after the other, there's no Demi'ilu on the second behemoth, then there's nothing to talk about. That's not based on the connection. Exactly. Rebbe Kiva has made a tremendous amount of stage work before in order for his process to work. He staged the whole world for us, how he understands Tuchatois. And then the way he understands it, he was able to then go forward and tell us, you know, just like it works over there, it also works by Yotze. Yotze is a relatively minor problem. Yotze is you have one carbon, a little, a piece, a basar went out. Then it came back in. Rashi says, well, it stayed out, the mafkamina. That's Yotze. So now the shaila is, does the zrika work on what went out? Because it somewhat got disconnected. So Bekiva says, one second. Zrika is a very liberal concept. Because zrika even works from one chattas on another chattas. So if it works from one chattas on another chattas, surely it works over here. But the only way Rabbi Kiva was able to get to that place is because he created a whole situation where he said, it's dafkin a case where you shech the two chatois together. And therefore at that time, because normally you have to realize by a chatas, as soon as one gets designated, the other one gets off the cliff. As soon, you can't have two chatois for the same kezayis of chelev. You can't have two chatois. So once one becomes a mechutin, the other one is out of the chasana. There's no such thing as having two chatois. So either they can become disqualified from the start, you shecht one, the other one is out of the game. Or if you manipulated the situation, got two koihanim, you brought them into the Beis HaMikdash together, you shechted them exactly the same time. So the shechita didn't have an opportunity to disqualify one because it happened mamish the same second. So now we got to wait for the next step. Now we're going to have to wait for Zrika to disqualify it. But then it means that all the Zrika is doing is disqualifying. The Zrika is not doing activating. The Zrika is acting as a disqualification. If that's all the Zrika is doing, then Rebbe Kiva has no raya. Rebbe Kiva's whole binyan is meyusid. It's all based on the fact that he's learning that since you shechted the two behemoths together, they really became like one. And now when you spritz the blood, it's removing the me'ila from the other one. Because they're loosely connected in the fact that they could have been, either of them could have been used. Now, if that's the case, then you have to buy also that if you do Zrika on one part of the meat, the other part of the meat also will lose the me'ila, even though it's not good, because it's no worse than the second chattas is. That's Rebbe Kiva's way of reasoning. Dr. Shlokish, Shreit Shlokish, what do you mean? Tshuva Genuva? This is a Gagan V'Tetelet? Because he's only, his whole teretz is only riding on his okimta. That he'll talk about a case where you shechted the two together. The shechted it b'zach hazeh, there's definitely, there wouldn't be, you wouldn't have the heter me'ila. That's not the case. That's Rish Lakish's time. That's Rish Lakish. It's not because of Zrika, exactly. The fact that the Din Me'ila would have fallen off if you shechted them b'zeh achazeh, that proves that the alumnus is not the way you're learning it. So the main point is, to understand this whole sugi is, that Rebbe Kiva's way of learning something is affecting his whole proof. It's not just a proof from a case. It's a proof from his understanding of that case. And that's why Rish Lakish is saying that the way you're presenting it is not correct, and therefore it's not the way you understand it. If it's not the way you understand it, you don't have proof to what you're saying. That's the way, that's the issue. Okay, we had several other issues in the sugya, but really, if we accomplish to understand this, then we'll understand everything together. We do, I just want to tell you, we do have another sugya, which I asked the Elam to look up last week already, in Zevachim, which has a completely different approach, seemingly, between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Lezer. And the Gemara there seems to, you see, our Gemara seems to be clear that Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Lezer both agree that Yotze is possible. There's not a discussion between the two of them whether you took out this meat before Zrikas Dam, whether it became possible or not. That's not even in the discussion. The discussion between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Lezer is clear in our sugya that it's just Pasha does the Zrika work on something which is possible B'yetzin. But if you look at that sugya, I don't know if you have it handy, I'll read it to you, it's only a couple of lines of Gemara. If you go through the sugya in Zvachim, the Gemara brings down, so I'll just read you the part that's relevant, pay tesam and base. Basar kot shekalim, sheyotza lifnei zrikas damim. Okay? This is a more elementary question. Our Mishnah is dealing with if the meat went out and then you spritz the blood, does it work or does it not work? The Gemara in the Zvachim is bringing down a shayla. Maybe it doesn't even become possible. Maybe if you take meat out before Zrika, maybe it doesn't even become possible. And the Gemara says why? Rav Yochanan says, kosher. Never becomes possible. Rabbi Yechonin says, kosher over Sefer Lotzes. Rabbi Yechonin has an interesting svara. Rabbi Yechonin says that if you take out kochim kalim prior to Zrika, right, it has not yet been established that which part of the meat stays in, which part of the meat stays out. And therefore, Rabbi Yechonin holds that helps you, because anything which at the end of the day you're going to be able to take out, who cares that you didn't do Zrika yet? Rish Lakish says, no. Adayin lo higi azman elotzes. Rish Lakish holds, listen, until Zrika, everything is in. Zrika will then make a decision what goes in and what goes out and how far it goes out. So according to Rish Lakish, the whole din of Zrika is a deciding factor where goes where, but until then, we have the ultimate chumrah. According to Rabbi Yechonin, it's the other way around. Until we have Zrika, we don't yet have a deciding factor what belongs where, but then we take the maximum. Some hold that according to Rabbi Yechonin, even if you took it out of Yerushalayim, will be kosher. Because Rabbi Akiva Eger asks, why does Rabbi Yechonin just say kosher? He should say it depends. If you took it outside of the Azara, but yet in Yerushalayim, kosher. If you took it out of Yerushalayim, then even Rabbi Yechonin should say possible. That's Rabbi Akiva Eger's cash. Many explain that Rabbi Yechonin's shita is that no matter where you took it, it's going to be kosher. Until Zrika. Because until Zrika, where it's decided what goes where, we just take the, there's no din. And the Gemara goes on. The Gemara says, Lema Ketanoi. And the Gemara brings our sugya of Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Akiva on the bottom of the daf. That Rabbi Lezer says, Maya Limbaim, Vein Chayav, and Rabbi Akiva holds that there is a din of Me'ilah. So what do we see from this sugya in Zevachim? We see that the Gemara in Zevachim has a whole different understanding. The Gemara in Zevachim has at least a preliminary understanding that the machlokes Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Lezer is whether there's a psul yotze. Whether it ever becomes possible, B'yotzeh. That's the discussion. Our Gemara is not going that way. Our Gemara is making the assumption clearly that it's possible according to both. The issue is that Rabbi Akiva says, even though it's possible, B'yotzeh, there's still Zrika helps. And the sugya in Zvachim is not going with that approach. Or maybe not. Maybe we could bridge the gap between the sugyas. But definitely, at first glance, it seems to be that there is a conflict of how to learn. Now, if you look at this, the end of the Masech, the end of the Perek, the Gemara says the same thing, that according to Rabbi Akiva, it's true that Zrika works, but it's still possible. Look at the last line in the Perek. See, the Mishnah, the next Mishnah, basically repeats what we learned till now, which is that Zrika by Kochim Kalim is Lakula, and Zrika by Kochim Kochim is Lachumra. I'm sorry. Zrika by Kochim Kalim is Lachumra, and Zrika by Kochim Kadoshim brings on a Kula because it takes off the din of Me'ilu off the Basha. That's the last Mishnah. Maisi Domin by Kochim Kadoshim Vahokalu Lahachmer, by Kochim Kalim it's Lahachmer, and the Gemara and the Mishnah gives the case. Ketzat. Kochim Kadoshim Ufne Zrika's Domin, there's din Me'ilu, Beimurim, Ubabas. Like we had on everything. So by kashim kadashim, once you spritz the blood, the meila falls off. If there's zrika, so nimtza comes out ma'isi domim b'kashim kadashim u'hakalu lahachme. By kashim kadashim, there's a kula. The kula is that the meila falls off from part of the animal. B'kashim kalim, it's kula lahachme. Why? Kashim kalim lifnei zrika's dam ein moilim. Loi be emurim, v'loi be basa. Lachas rikas domim mayalim be emurim, v'ein mayalim be basa. Alze v'alze, chayovin aleyem mishim pigol noise v'tomim. Nimtza maisi domim b'kotchim kalim kulei lach. Zrika by kotchim kalim is only lachman, because it introduces me'ilu. The Gemara at the end here discusses that this is going in a case of yoytze. If you look at the last line in the parak, last two lines, Omer abchanina l'yoytzin. We're talking about it went out. For Rabbi Akiva he. Rabbi Kiva just means this Zrika works, that you don't burn it right away, you wait for it to become noiser. But Avada Rabbi Kiva agrees Yotze is possible. That's the end of the parak. So clearly our Masechta's meal is saying that Yotze is possible whether you hold like a Rabbi Kiva or you hold like a Balazar. Yotze is possible. The only issue is regarding whether the Zrika works to remove the din of Me'ilah. But Yotze is possible. The Sugin Zvachim seems to debate that, whether the din seems to say. I mean, we'll see that this will bridge the gap between the Sugis. Otherwise, the Sugis are completely Chalukas, these two Sugis. Okay. So, I want to just Mavaya one other point. We had last week, we mentioned the Tosfos. Tosfos asks that our Mishnah is broken up to two parts. We have a Reisha and we have a Seif. The Reisha talks about Yotze Lekula, and the Sefer talks about Yotze Lechumra. The Reisha talks about if you spritz the blood on a Yotze by Kochi Kadosha, right? That it's going to remove the din of Mila, right? That's the Reisha. And Rabbi Kiva says, ain't Moilin boy. That's the Reisha. So in the Reisha, Rabbi Kiva is being Mekel. In the Sefer, Rabbi Kiva is being Machm. Because in the Sefer, we're talking about Kochim Kalim, which till now did not have a din of Mila, like the last Mishnah. Now, after Zrika, it's going to have a din of Mila. So that is a Chid. Rabbi Kiva there is Machm. The Gemara we had last week says you need both. Because if you just have the Sefer, then we would say that maybe Rabbi Kiva only holds that way L'chumra, but not L'kul. Right? And if we only had the Reisha, we would say that maybe Rebbe Lezer only holds that way L'chumra, but L'kula he would agree to Rebbe Kivas. That's the Gemara said we need both. So Tosfos comes, and Tosfos, I don't understand. Tosfos says, this is the Tosfos, Divri HaMaschil, Shaloi Kitikna. Tema. Taisu says, Tema. The Hocha Mashma, over here it would seem, Sheyesh loy lohovi yoiseli de Me'ilah. That it's easier to bring something to Me'ilah, right? Ule'el Mashma Ipcha. And earlier we had the opposite logic. Zrika Sheloy Kitikna loy maiseli de Me'ilah. That Zrika, which is no good, won't introduce Me'ilah. Mikomokoy mafka mi de Me'ilah. What's going on? So in other words, we have a mixed message. Earlier, the message was that a Zrika, which is not good, it's easier to accept that it would remove Me'ilah than introduce Me'ilah. And if you remember, I'll just has review it. The svara we gave to that was like a Chaim. That Zrika has two points to it. It has a activation, zrika. It's mechaper, it's meratzeh, it allows you to eat the meat, it allows the emurim to go on the mizbech. It activates things. It also is a conclusion. Zrik is also an end. It's like you have the end. It ended. The ikar part of the carbon has ended. So zrika represents both an activation and a culmination. It's ended. So the Chaim, the Grach, explains that it's certain parts of Mi'ilu could get affected just by the fact that it's the end. It's not that the Zrika has to go and create some kind of remove the din of Mi'ilu. Stop. It's the end. Everything ended. So once it ended, there's no din of Mi'ilu, potentially. Now, in this regard, it makes a lot of sense what we learned earlier. You can have a Zrika which reflects the end, correct? But it doesn't activate because it's possible. So it can't activate anything. So by, let's talk about Kodesh Kedoshim, right? By Kodesh Kedoshim. By Kodesh Kalim, you want to now say that the Zrika, the carbon till now had no din of Me'ila, right? Now you want to say that the Zrika will activate the Me'ila, right? Because the Zrika is going to make a din that you put a Murim on the Mizbeach, and by doing that, the Zrika introduces Me'ila. There we could say, Apostle Zrika can't do that. The Apostle Zrika can only reflect an ending. It can't reflect an activation. It can't say, well, now we're going right. We ended. Right? So where the din of Me'ilah is coming in, by Kachim Kalim, through the Zrika, so then we could say, if it's Apostle Zrika, it can't activate. Somebody asked you, did the avoid of the carbon end? Yes. By Kodesh Kedoshim, it's different. Kodesh Kedoshim, you could say it's like this. The whole carbon is called Kodesh Hashem. There's Me'ilah on the whole carbon. Till the end. Once you get to the end, there's no Me'ilah anymore on the basar. It's over. The Me'ilah on the basar is only so long that the carbon is in progress. Once the carbon comes to a conclusion, there's no Me'ilah on the meat. If you learn that way, then it's understandable why you could have Apostle Zrika that will remove the din of Me'ilah from Kodesh Kedoshim. Because the Me'ilah is falling off only because it reached conclusion. But it won't be the Me'ilah by Kodesh Kalim, because for that it has to activate, and it can't activate. That's what we had till now. Tosfos now is struggling that our Gemara seems to say the other way around. Our Gemara seems to say that it's more likely that the Zrika, a Zrika which is no good, will bring Me'ilah, then that it will remove Me'ilah. That's Tosfos' problem. So Tosfos comes and gives the following terms. Tosfos says, "V'oimer Moiri v'Rabbi Yarav Rabbeinu Peretz, d'le'el ikotama v'ocha ikotama." There's reasons in both directions. Tosfos basically comes with a very interesting idea, and this is the key to understand everything that we had. This key, if we can understand this Tosfos, we can understand everything will fall into place. Tosfos says, there are two kinds of disqualified Zrika. Okay? There's a disqualified Zrika because the Zrika inherently is disqualified. There's some fallacy in the Zrika. The Zrika has something wrong with it. Like Zrika Spiegel. Zrika Spiegel means there's something wrong with the Zrika. The Zrika is a Balmum. There's something wrong with the Zrika. That's one type of problem. There's another problem where the Zrika can't activate, not because the Zrika is not good, but because what you're trying to activate on, there is your problem. Over here you don't have a problem. That's your problem. Over there is your problem. That's the other way to it. Okay? Tosfos therefore says like this. In our sugya, there is nothing wrong with the Zrika itself. The basar went out, the emurim went out, whatever went out. The Zrika is pure and holy. The cup of dam is pure and holy. There's nothing inherently wrong with the Zrika. The reason why the Zrika is not going to work is because there's problems with what went out. That's the issue. Tosfos says that's the difference between the two sugyas. He says, "V'oimer Moiri v'Rabbi Rabbeinu Peretz d'le'el iketam v'ochi iketam d'le'el nasis hazriko atzmo bipsul." Earlier on, the Zrika was no good. The Zrika was messed up. Where the Zrika is messed up, so then Tosfos says, then there's a Svara that it's easier to remove the Din of Me'ilah than to bring on the Din of Me'ilah. And based on how I explained it to you, it's very simple. Because the Zrika that itself is messed up can only reflect an ending. Okay? You had Machsheva Spiegel in the Zrika. So I spritzed the Zrika wrong. There was a Psul in the Zrika. So there the Zrika can't introduce something new. It can only represent an end. Everything ended. So Me'ilah from Kodshi Kedoshim could go off because it ended. The Me'ilah falls off by the Korban coming to an end, potentially. It can't introduce Me'ilah because that means that the Zrika is activated. And a Zrika that has a fallacy to it, inherently, can't activate. Zoktosis, but Hilkach Eini Mevi Dimei B'Kotshim Kolam, the Loi Karina Bei Kotshi Hashem, Avul Moitzi Midei Me'ilah B'Kotshi Kedoshim. So he struggles with this. The Ashkechon, the Achshvei Rachman, Zrika Lin Yilai Suvei Koras Bachila, the Boi Hatzal B'Pigol. He gives examples where you see the Zrika does something. Now the way I would explain Tosis is that the Zrika works for anything that you only need the conclusion. For anything that all you need is that the carbon came to conclusion. For that, I don't care how bad the Zrika is. The Zrika could be completely possible. Psuei begufoi. What's the difference? It ended. It's the end. Right? Whereas, where you want the Zrika to go ahead and introduce Me'ilah, so now you need a Zrika that does something. There's a svara to say that if the Zrika inherently was possible, it's not going to do anything. But here, says Tosfos, in our sugya, the Zrika is good. The Zrika is an absolute good Zrika. And therefore, anything the Zrika has to activate, logically should be there. It's the other way around. You're messed up on the meat. So there, if you're trying to remove Me'ilah from the meat, so there we could say there's a svara that since the Zrika is good, the Zrika inherently is good, but the meat is not, so maybe you can't remove the Me'ilah. There's no Heter L'Kayanim. Right? Where the Zrika is coming to introduce Me'ilah, then it will work, because the Zrika is 100% a good Zrika. So that's what Tosfos is saying. Tosfos is basically saying there's a tremendous difference, even though we put all these things together, there's a tremendous difference between if the Zrika inherently is no good, or the Zrika inherently is good, and we're only dealing with the problem with the Yotze. Now this Rabbi Sai is, this Tosfos is so clear, his distinction is so clear, that it's actually very difficult to understand what's the Machloikas of Elazar and Rabbi Akiva. It seems now, if we look at it that way, what Rabbi Akiva is saying is extremely logical. There's no reason why the Zrika shouldn't work. The Zrika is 100% kosher Zrika. And Tosfos says, that's why there's overwhelming logic to say that the Zrika should activate. The only thing that the Svara may be is that the Zrika can't, something which needs Heter Koyanim, so Yotze is a flaw. Yotze is a flaw on the Heter Koyanim. In other words, if the only reason why the Me'ilah is falling off is because this the meat is becoming permitted, then you could say, well, it's Yotze, so it remains with the din of Me'ilah that it had till now. But to tell me that a Zrika lacks activation when the Zrika is 100% good, Tosfos says there's really no svara to say that. Which is precisely why Tosfos learns that the overwhelming svara is like Rabbi Akiva. The overwhelming svara is, since over here the Zrika is kosher, the Zrika should work. The Zrika should absolutely work. The only debate would be where the Zrika is coming ahead to remove a Din Me'ilah, then you could say, even though the Zrika is perfect, but the meat that you're removing the Din Me'ilah from, which is based on the Kohen being able to eat the meat has a fallacy. There's nothing wrong with the Zrika. That's Tosfos Svara. And this is the key. Well, Mitzvah Hashem, next week we'll start from this point, but this is the key to answer that whole sugya. All the kashas, everything gets maturis with... That's what we're going to have to work on. We'll get an understanding of the Rabbi Akiva, we'll understand the Tucha. Everything will be understood based on this Tosfos. But this is, so I will ask the Olam really for next week, really just to finish the Perek, the sugi that we started reading through this week. And if you could spend some time on this Toysus, Shaloi Ketikna, that we just read now, to read the whole Toysus from the beginning until the end, and otherwise just everything we had till now.